इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
हाय एंड वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस अबाउट अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट इवेंट इन द हिस्ट्री ऑफ मॉडर्न इंडिया टुडे, एंड बाय वी आई मीन माय को होस्ट एंड माय फ्रेंड प्रज्ञा शिदोरे, हु हैज अग्रीड टू बी हियर इन स्पाइट ऑफ हर सोर थ्रोट एंड अ प्रिटी हस्की वॉइस। सो प्रज्ञा, वेलकम। आफ्टर आर वंडरफुल डिस्कशन ऑन द एंटायर अयोध्या एंड राम मंदिर इशू, वी आर कमिंग बैक to the whole M trilogy, as we mentioned that time, that there are three M's when we look at the history of modern India, or when we look at the history of India in the 90s. There is Mandir, which we discussed. There is Mandal, which we will discuss in some further episodes. And there is Market, which we are going to discuss today. This particular event called LPG, which stands for liberalization, privatization and globalization, which made a huge, huge impact on the way India operates as a country in the 1990s. So it was the biggest reform ever in the history of independent India. Absolutely. And when we say that it is liberalization of economy, what do we mean? Why is it liberalizing? Was it very closed before?
Yes. See, when we became independent, India was facing crisis at many levels. It was agrarian crisis. It was state. It was crisis in the states also. We had the education and the development indicators were very bad. Nehruvian tendency was like to have a central planning, to have a state socialism like that of Soviet Union, so that the state could control things. And the thought was, if we open up our economy then, and if we give licenses to people then, our central government feared that it might imbalance the state. And that is the reason we took up state planning, and then we have 5 years plan. There was also one thing called License Raj, which really affected our economy. There were very few players which state really approved. By state, I also mean the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy became a sort of a power player in this entire exercise. So you had to grease a few hands before you had your license.
I would like to make an addition here where we say that, you know, in 1991, we liberalized our economy.
Yeah.
What happened slightly before that was this whole thing. See, it did not happen overnight. There was a currency devaluation. The investor mood was very low. The investments had reduced. All of this has its background in what was happening in India, actually from 1947, but in the decade of 1980, where a lot of things happened simultaneously. So as a result, this whole investor mood being low and currency devaluation,
yeah,
and exhaustion of our foreign exchange, etc., had happened, and we had to ultimately pledge gold to IMF in exchange of a loan.
Yeah.
So what exactly happened in the political and in the social domain in the late 1980s?
The things cannot be seen in the isolation. It has its roots in international politics, economics also, which was triggered firstly by the Gulf War. So this actually raised the oil prices, and India was purchasing oil from the Gulf countries.
Right.
There we spent a lot during that time. Domestic unrest. There were separatist movements like Khalistan, Assam, and Kashmir issue was also raging.
Definitely. It was in full force. To add to it, socially sensitive issues were also coming to the forefront, especially like what we discussed the last time with Shah Bano case and the implementation of Mandal Commission.
Right.
The atmosphere in country, socially speaking, was also pretty charged. It was not at peace. There was a lot of unrest you could see everywhere.
We were not producing too much in our country, and the economy was actually stagnant.
Absolutely. See, this is a funny situation where you're spending on one hand on subsidies and on wars and on importing so many things. But on the other hand, there's no possibility of balancing it with some income, because there's no income. I mean, you yourself have cut off all the possibility of earning income through investments, because you haven't allowed investments in the first place.
Yeah. And interestingly, India's growth rate was close to 3 or 3.5, which was also lower than Pakistan's.
To add to this whole thing, like what you just mentioned, two major global happenings, which I'll talk about, which made the atmosphere volatile. One was that Soviet Union disintegrated.
Hmm.
The Berlin Wall fell in 1989. That was a historic happening. And with Berlin Wall, I would say the whole Soviet or the socialist thought downfall. Was sort of coming to an end.
Correct.
The people, correct. Everything was changing. People had started thinking differently. There were new thoughts, new perspectives, new political systems were coming up in the West. Additionally, while this was happening in the West, in the Middle East, Gulf War was in the full force. Everybody knew about the war because CNN broadcasted it live. I mean, we were very small when this happened, but I remember our parents talking about this, that this was the first time that you could actually sit in your living room and watch a war
experience
a war happening live. So overall, the investor mood was very low. Nobody wanted to take any risk because nobody knew what is going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So this brings us back to this whole thing where a situation arose where we didn't have enough money. All the foreign exchange that we had was exhausted. So this was a desperate situation and we had to find out a way. What we did, the immediate response of Government of India was that to ask for a loan. I would say it was more of a mortgage.
Right.
That we gave gold bullion gauge.
Right.
That we gave gold bullion in exchange of securing loan from IMF. Almost 67 tons of gold of national reserve was kept, was pledged to the International Monetary Fund, to IMF. And Chandrasekhar was, in fact, the Prime Minister then.
And so the Chandrasekhar government sanctioned the loan. This could not keep them together and the government actually fell.
Collapsed midway.
So the next Prime Minister, Narasimha Rao, he had a very bad situation to deal with. So one excellent thing he appointed was, to appoint Dr. Manmohan Singh as the Finance Minister. They started this whole process of liberalization.
By and large, what it meant was, first of all, it ended the license raj. Because it removed the restrictions that you had on industrial investment. So basically before this, even if you wanted, even if you had money, if you didn't have a license to open a factory or to launch an industry, you couldn't do it. With the reforms, they also opened up majority of sectors to FDI, which until then were not, it was not possible. Foreigners couldn't invest in India, if they wanted to, because government had put up restrictions.
Yeah. There was a time when you had one brand of everything. You had one scooter, Bajaj.
Yeah.
You had one watch, one company of watch that was HMT.
Yeah.
I don't understand why the government needed to have its own company of watches.
There was one airline.
Exactly.
Air India. There was waiting queue for everything. If you wanted a scooter, you had to wait. If you wanted a telephone, you had to wait. So this stopped after 1991. And I would say, as consumers, we have benefited a lot. So we have an option for everything. There is a choice for everything. Moreover, if you have realized, the working style of public sector undertakings has changed tremendously. Correct. Because, see, you understand the connotation of this whole term, sarkari. Sarkari, that is government-owned, meant that it is going to be lazy, inefficient. Hmm. That is because PSUs were like that by and large. Because they faced no competition. There was no threat to their survival.
Right.
Now, with opening up of the economy, you had competition. If you didn't perform, you perish.
Yeah.
So their working style also changed. Hmm. I mean, now that we see that more and more government offices are helpful, they're technologically enabled and they're user-friendly. Okay. All this started with opening up of the economy. So one of the sectors which actually changed completely was television. Till 1991, we had only one TV channel, Doordarshan. 25 years later,
it was not 24 hours.
And it was not 24 hours. The TV transmission would shut at 10:30 or 11 sometime and again start in the morning.
Okay.
25 years later, we have more than 800 TV channels broadcasting endless content. That's a huge, huge leap. And it happened only because of the LPG.
Yeah. One more thing which I find interesting. I think the smuggling also stopped, right?
Absolutely.
Because you could just import things.
You did not smuggle anymore.
Because the import duties
were
minimal.
Yeah.
The smuggling of gold, perfumes, watches actually stopped.
Absolutely. So, all your smugglers that you had, who I guess then turned into
They changed careers.
They changed careers. That's a result of LPG, no doubt. I would say, Pradnya, we are by and large a product of the liberal economy. Okay. You know what I mean? So, economic reforms definitely bring about social reform. Of course, nobody imposes social reforms. Okay. They're very subtle, and the way we have a choice in everything as a consumer, the way we operate, the way we think, the way we are exposed to new things every now and then, all of this is possible only due to those economic reforms which happened 25 years ago.
Sneha, I always feel that any policy has two sides.
Yeah.
It cannot be a win-win situation for everyone.
Right.
The reason for this reforms was the government wanted to alleviate poverty. There was a huge income gap in across India. But I don't see that kind of income gap, that gap actually reduced. And I have a feeling that, I mean, it is also backed by data and findings by few economists that people with resources, people with education actually benefited the most from the liberal economy, the capitalism also.
Yeah.
And people with fewer means, they had much to lose from this economy. So I don't think it was a win-win situation for everyone in India.
Right.
But it was an inevitable policy to accept.
Obviously, because we were desperate.
Exactly. Then. So maybe now the social policies can answer to these questions which have arisen after the process of liberalization.
Right. I would say that there are still a few more areas where reforms are necessary. Mm. So for example, labor laws.
Correct.
It remains one of the major industries where reforms are needed. Your industrial policy has to be streamlined, which as of the moment it is not. Agricultural subsidies are still on. After so many years, the subsidy has not stopped.
Also, we could have taken better care of our environment. With liberalization and open economy, we gave licenses to everyone. We did not take care of our Adivasis. We did not take care of people who lived off their land. So I guess that is the sector we need to pay attention to.
I agree. See, finally, personally, I would say I am the beneficiary of LPG. Correct. And probably most of the people around me are somehow affected for the better after LPG has come. Good thing after this, I would say, is that the next governments, the subsequent governments continued these reforms. Fortunately, nobody thought that just because these reforms have been started by my opponents, I'll stop them.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. And the subsequent governments have been continuing reforms, and reform is a long, long drawn process. It's not that you do something today and then day after something else changes. So we'll keep on seeing reforms every now and then, and we hope that they are for good, and they shape our country in such a way that 1991 economic reforms did. That's the best that we can hope for.